So of your songwriting career with Harry Nils, was there any one particular song that turned out to be the most successful?
Well, I'd say monetarily wise, it was Too Hot to Stop. We also had a song recorded by Natalie Cole, which was called You're So Good, and that earned us a gold record. We had a lot of people record that song at the time. There was a group from Australia that recorded it. Marcia Hines was her name. And Helen Reddy, of all people, recorded it. Jackie DeShannon recorded it. So that was a pretty good one there. And then our first song that was recorded by a major artist, the major artist was Tim Buckley. And we had this crazy little song that we wrote. It was just kind of a humorous song called Peanut Man.
Peanut Man?
But the track was really funky. And so Tim Buckley came into the Playboy Publishing, where we were at the time. And they played him the song, and he sat there and listened to it. He goes, play that again. So the guy played it again. Play that again. He goes, I'm going to record that. So he recorded that. It was on one of his albums, Safona, or something like that. Yeah. We still get royalties from that song. But that was a good one. But then the famous writer, Jeff Berry, who was one of the New York guys, you know, from the old days, wrote like De Do Ron Ron and Crying in the Chapel or something, a lot of these songs. He did work with the Monkees. And anyway, he kind of took us under his wing, and he loved that track, Peanut Man. So he said, I'd like to take the track and put Nino Tempo, sax player, also had records in the 50s, in late 50s, early 60s, with April Stevens, who was his sister, Deep Purple, I think was one.
Yep.
Big hit. And he was a sax player, too. So we made a thing out of it called Roll It. It was really funky. It's on YouTube, Roll It, by Nino Tempo. So that track was, that was the winner. And we had a cuts by Denise LaSalle, who was a rhythm and blues singer from Memphis. Quite well known, actually, in the soul market. And so we were doing a lot of eclectic stuff, really, you know. We had the chance to record in every great studio in Hollywood, RCA and A&M Studios, where we cut a couple tracks. Probably about four for Jeff Berry there. And so we had a really good run, you know, as writers. At least we got paid weekly our advance and royalties, of course. Yeah.
So that lasted for 10 years.
10 years, yeah. And by that time, we were both kind of burned out, I think, and Harry wanted to go back to the Twin Cities, you know.
What year did Harry go back?
Harry, let's see, it must have been probably about early 80s, I think maybe 81, something like that, 80, 81.
And what did you do after that then?
Well, after that, I decided to keep writing and working on my own, trying to play songs, which became pretty hard to do, but I had to make a living, so I started doing temp work on the side. And I worked at first unloading trucks at night and doing things like that and trying to get some recording home studio stuff. And this was in the early 80s, so it was pretty primitive. And then I worked for the Bank of America as a temp for quite a while, which turned into Wells Fargo. It was in Century City, there in Beverly Hills area. Then they moved to Beverly Hills. I worked there at that bank. But, you know, I just did kind of menial labor things, you know, filing, file clerk stuff. And then I joined a band. I worked with a guy called David Lewis, who was a Texas guitar guy. And at the same time, I started working with another band, original band called Drusilla. And they were really good, both of them, but very tough, you know, to do showcases, pay to play. Then I found another band. This guy called me. He goes, "Hey, I've got a band called the Rolling Clones." He said, "Would you be interested in just sitting in with us?" And I said, "Sure, sure." So the Rolling Clones had been a big tribute band in the late 70s, you know, doing the Stones. They were probably the only one. And Jimmy Fredrickson was the Mick Jagger guy. But by the time I sat in with him, he was really doing a variety of music, all kinds of pop, you know, popular music, stuff on the radio, and you name it. And some of the old stuff I already knew. So we clicked together, Jimmy and I, and we kept playing together, you know, and times get very hard. So he came to me one time and said, "You know, these people need a duo here at this Normandy Casino." He said, "Do you think we could do that, do a duo?" And I said, "Of course we could do a duo." So at that time, I got drum machines, and I ran drum machines, you know, foot pedals and stuff, and started playing left-hand bass on the keyboards. And so we did this duo thing, and it really became popular around the South Bay, they call it, area, just South Los Angeles there. And so we really were successful doing this duo. And then after a while, you know, I started to say, "Jimmy, you know, let's get a drummer. You know, it's just too much for me to do, sing and do all this and play all this." And I said, I would love to play with a drummer. So we started playing as a trio. And then we set up a band called Silver Beat. And that was a four-piece, five-piece, depending on where we played. And we played a lot of the stuff that TC Atlantic played, actually. Still popular. You know, these songs are still popular. So we did that for, all of a sudden we turn around and like 25 years have gone by. We had gone that far, and then my wife and I decided to move out of Los Angeles, Hollywood, West L.A. area. It was getting so hard to move around, and our house there had increased in value so, so much, it was ridiculous. So we said, "Let's go." So we sold our house that we lived in for 22 years and decided to come to here, to Prescott, they say here. Prescott, Arizona. And it's a beautiful, beautiful area. It's up in higher elevation, so it doesn't have the heat as bad as, you know, Phoenix. It's only an hour and a half away from Phoenix, so if you want to go to the city, you can do that. And there's plenty of things to do, a lot of musicians around here. So I've met a lot of musicians, some pretty great ones. One in particular, a guy named Chuck Hall, who was kind of a legendary blues player from Phoenix. And we've been kind of getting together. I don't know, nothing serious yet. But so we're waiting for our house to be built, and it should be done in July. And so we're very excited about that.
So when you look back on the TC Atlantic era, do you have a particular favorite song that the band recorded?
Faces. I think Faces. Faces, because it's so unique. And, you know, Parrott said, this is what Steinberg said. He goes, "They'd like you to re-record the song with strings and kind of a more poppy version without the fuzz tone and all that," which, you know, we did. And people don't highly regard it in most cases. But I thought it was a great recording, actually. You know, it had backward drums on it and stuff. But I'd say Faces, the original Faces, right now is probably my favorite. And then I loved Mona, too. Mona with Joe. It was great. I thought it was a great, simple, powerful record. Those two I really loved.
How about a favorite club where the band played in Minnesota? Did you have one in particular you liked playing at more than the others?
That's a hard one because there were so many great places to play. I mean, as you know, I mean, all the ballrooms, and we hit everyone, you know. I love to play the bigger arenas, you know, with more people, like Wacota and Aldridge, you know, because they used to pack those places. I love playing up in Duluth at the armories and the big places there where they get, you know, like 1,000 kids from all over the Iron Range coming in, you know. Those big places I liked. I just love to play, you know. I play anywhere.
I've seen your band schedule that Vicky gave me from 1967 and 1968, and it appears that you played at the Bell Ray quite often. Was that a hot spot for your band?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was. The Bell Ray Ball, great place to play. I loved to play there. I loved to play at the Paul Prom Ballroom. One night we were on the bill with the Hollies. And the Hollies were the first band that we ever saw with their own sound man.
Really?
They had their own PA with a sound man. And the Hollies sounded fantastic. You know, Graham Nash and with them. And we were looking, you know, standing in front, listening to the Hollies. And he had like a Fender Strat he was playing, but wasn't plugged in. Well, I could kind of still hear it. He didn't have it plugged in and out. Of all guitars. So we asked him about it. He goes, oh, no, I need to plug it in. You know, this guy, well, God, his voice is incredible. You know, the high voice. But, you know, Graham Nash just strummed it almost like an acoustic guitar, you know, but it wasn't plugged in.
You know, we kind of skipped over your live album, Live at the Bell Ray.
Oh, yeah.
Which...
that was quite a thing. You know, we were amazed that they were going to bring out a four-track recorder, I think it was, out there. And that was quite a thing to set up that whole deal, you know. We just, you know, we played like we normally did, a regular night, you know, with the stuff. The kids were great, you know, great audience.
Now, and, that night, did you record the entire show from beginning to end?
Yeah, I think we did.
So only 9 songs came out on the album. Are those other songs still around somewhere on a tape?
I doubt it. You know, we went into the studio, into Duff Studios, and edited. I remember editing it down and just, you know, taking the best stuff. I don't know what happened to those, the others. If they're around, I doubt it.
Did the album sell well for the band?
Yeah, pretty well. I think it was in the top 10 for a while. It was really a great thing for us to have. You know, that was really... you know, a great advertisement for playing, you know.
That was a pretty unique idea at the time to record a live album.
Very, very unique, you know.
Whose idea was it?
Probably Steinberg's, you know. I think it probably was. And Daryl Arvidsson, I think they probably put their heads together and thought this could make some money, you know. And it probably did, although we never saw any.
Well, that's typical for most
bands.
Bands
just didn't make money from that in those days. You know, we were just kids and, you know, didn't know about the music business, really.
Yeah, that was pretty typical for that era. So are there any TC Atlantic songs that have been recorded that were never put out on vinyl records?
I don't think so. You know, other than a few of those cuts that are on the best of TC Atlantic, the song Witness and a couple others on there. We recorded specifically to do a vinyl single, you know, except for the live album.
So looking back at your time in TC Atlantic, do you have a certain memory of an event that sticks out as something special for you?
Well, you know, the Dayton's Top 10 shows. Very special because you were really treated, you know, the kids that came, they were just amazing. You know, you after you did this appearance, you'd go into what they had, an autograph pit.
Okay.
And you'd sign autographs, and they were just like you were the Beatles or something. You know, they'd be pulling your hair and doing all that. It was pretty exciting, you know, for us to be, you know, somewhat famous like that, you know. That was amazing.
So you mentioned playing with the Hollies at the Prom Center in St. Paul. Were there any other national or international bands that TC Atlantic played with?
Yes, there were. What I can remember is we did a big, I think a Minneapolis auditorium gig with the Lovin' Spoonful. There were other bands on that too. I think it was the Buckinghams were on that show. And another group from, I think it was the Chicago area. I forget their name. The lead singer had a hook, I remember.
Oh, the Crying James.
Yeah. The Crying James. And we played with Sam the Sham and the Sparrows. I think it was up north. And, the 1910 Fruit Gum Company.
Mm-hmm.
And who else did I sing? I'm sure there's... The Music Machine and the Electric Prunes in Minneapolis. We played, I think it was at the auditorium, one of the big shows.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, playing on the concourse with the Beatles and Cannibal and the Headhunters. I'm sure there's probably more in the Hollies, but I don't know. I can't remember right now anymore.
So when's the last time you've been back to Minnesota?
Oh, let's see. I went back and I went to see Jim Johnson play. Oh, yeah, I sat in with him where he was playing. I'd seen him a couple times. Every time we go back, I try to, you know, see Jim because he was our neighbor. When we first moved to Hollywood, we lived in the same apartment building. So we're pretty close, and of course, being Harry's brother-in-law and everything, you know. So I try to get back. So it's been a few years since I've been back, but I think we're probably going to be back this year sometime. We don't know exactly when, but we're kind of throwing it around, you know.
Well, if you do make it back to Minnesota, make sure you let Denny and myself know. And I think a lady named Vicky would probably enjoy spending time with you.
Yeah,
as well.
Oh, absolutely. Vicky Hocking, she's still a great fan, you know, president of the TC Atlantic Fan Club, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I have always kept in touch over the years, sending Christmas cards and things like that. But lately we've been, you know, a little closer.
Yeah, she provided some good information for us to write your webpage with, so we're very appreciative of her help.
Well, you know, I think you guys have done a wonderful job with the Minipal Music website. It's very comprehensive, and it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to see the history, you know. And I'm into it, you know. You know, the interviews with everybody and everything, it's a great job.
Well, thank you. On behalf of Denny and myself, thank you very much. I'll give you the final word here, Freddie. Any final word or comments you would like to make?
Just a big hi to all the fans out there that support us, and we'll be on your website. And thank you for all the support over the years. It's been a great run, and I'm still writing and recording, and that'll keep going on till the end.
Thank you for taking the time to talk with us today about your time in TC Atlantic. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
The preceding interview was recorded on March 20th, 2016, at Sunrise Sound in Rogers, Minnesota, and was produced by Denny Johnson and Tom Campbell. The copyright owner of this interview is MinniePaulMusic.com. Judgment train. I'm talking about getting on it. Hey! Oh! Oh!
anyways, and better days are just about here. On the tracks of righteousness, I'm gonna meet a friend. From the eastern skies of loneliness, I look to see the light. I told the captain, blow your horn, take away the night.
It's a happy day, yeah, yeah,
our lives have just begun.
It's a happy day, yeah,
Lord, that judgment train will come.
It's a happy day, yeah,
Lord, it's happening every way.
It's a happy day when the train comes in. Oh, Lord, take away my sin.